the prayer before the reading of the Holy Gospel. Grant us, O Lord God, the knowledge of your divine words, and fill us with the understanding of your Holy Gospel, the richness of your divine gifts, and the endowments of your Holy Spirit. And grant us that with joy we may keep your commandments, perform and fulfill your will, and become worthy of your blessings and mercies from you, our Lord and our God, now and always and forever and ever. Amen. For those of you with your Bibles this evening, if you would open up to the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. St. Luke, chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. It reads as follows. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and always, and forever and ever. Amen. Good evening to everyone. I just want to take this opportunity to first thank God Almighty for giving us this opportunity, though we are hundreds of miles away from each other, to be able to come together in a moment to pray and to read the scriptures and to offer these hymns and prayers before God Almighty, especially as we are in the fifth week of this great and holy fast. The reason why I chose this passage for us to meditate upon and for us to reflect, especially as we go through the theme of the Great Lent, the past weeks we have been discussing the theme of repentance, but I thought we look a little bit more closer into something that is often said we should always have more of or do more of, which is prayer during the Lenten times. I have a quote for everyone to first reflect on before I move forward into the gospel passage itself. The quote reads like this. Prayer is a mirror of one's spiritual disposition. Look into this mirror. Look at how you pray, and you will be able to say precisely what your spiritual disposition is. I'll read it again. Prayer is a mirror of one's spiritual disposition. Look into this mirror. Look at how you pray, and you will be able to say precisely what your spiritual disposition is. As you take a moment to kind of reflect on that quote, the basis behind what this statement says is that if we were to truly look at ourselves in the mirror and look at how we pray, our prayer, in a sense, precisely tells us where our spiritual state is. And when we look at this passage, especially in comparing two individuals, one a Pharisee, or the other one a tax collector, also known as a publican. When I look at the Pharisee, we see someone who represents total self-satisfaction. When we think about the Pharisees, he was a member of the intellectual elite. In his own way, he was religious, educated, probably very well read. In fact, the Pharisees preserved the beliefs and the traditions. They fulfilled the religious law and the prescriptions. They gave one-tenth of their wealth to the Jewish projects. And so in every way, they were not considered bad people, but regarded with great respect. But when we look at this individual, he represents total self-satisfaction. And what do I mean by that? It means that his self-satisfaction dominated his mind to the point where he could not even look into his heart. He says, God, I thank thee that I am not like these other men. And so that becomes an example for us. A lot of times I think when we as individuals, when we commit sin or when we do something wrong, we often think that our sin is really not as bad as our neighbors, or it's really not as bad as some of those other people who have done worse things in our mind. But I think a lot of times when we make those statements, we are in a way satisfied with our own self. And in a way, we are allowing for it to dominate our mind without really looking into the innermost being of our hearts. And then we look at this example of the publican, a tax collector. And if we look at the world today, especially during the season of filing taxes before April, a lot of times we look at the IRS or tax collectors as the people who are bad or the people who are there to just get our money or whatnot. And sometimes we ourselves even try to cheat the system or try to work around it to get self-gain or self-enjoyment for ourselves. But regardless of that, when we think about a tax collector in the olden days, it was a profession that was held very much in contempt. And here, this man, he appeared to fulfill no part of the law. And one of the things important that is to realize here is that he was able to sense his worthlessness. And he beats his breast and says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So the prayer that he said was recognized and heard by God because it concentrated on his own sinfulness. And realizing that sinfulness is something that we as Christians need to do, especially during this Great Lent. If you look at all of the prayers that we recite during the Great Lent, everything is centered around the theme of repentance, sinfulness, coming to reconcile ourselves with God. And so these two men, one of total self-satisfaction and the other of true repentance, are extreme opposites. But I'm sure that if we were to look at ourselves, we would probably identify with one or the other. And the funny thing is, the Lord knew the heart of the Pharisee. But it's interesting how the Pharisee had to make it a point to say in his prayer that I am not like one of these. Although the Pharisee believes in the Lord and loves him and seeks his help, when he degrades his neighbor, he did something wrong, and that was he exalted himself and rejected God. When he degraded his neighbor, that is the publican, he exalted himself and thereby rejected God. The venerable John Climacus, a saint of the church, has said, I have seen people who thank God with their mouth, but mentally magnify themselves. I have seen people who thank God with their mouth, but mentally magnify themselves. And this is what we see in the Pharisee. His worst error was that he condemned others. He forgets the measurelessness of mercy and calculates his virtuous quantity. I fast twice in the week and I give tithes. The bottom line is God doesn't want calculations. He doesn't need it. He wants men's hearts. Abba Anthony once said, a man's work consists of laying his sins on his own head before God. And that's why the publican was able to say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. If you look at some old ancient books and popular prints, the story of the Pharisee and the publican is kind of drawn out. And there's a picture of the Pharisee racing along in a chariot while the publican walks on foot. And both are striving toward the kingdom of heaven. So I want us to picture that for a moment. A Pharisee racing along in a chariot while the publican or the tax collector walks on foot, and both striving toward the kingdom of heaven. And what happens? At the last moment, the Pharisee's chariot breaks down, and the publican is able to overtake him by foot. And sometimes I feel like this is where we are in our spiritual life. In the struggle of real life, we have to be able to learn how to balance inward and outward religiosity. When you're in the water so deep, you don't think to swim out of the deep just using one hand. We would use all of our strength. We would use both hands, our feet, everything possible to get out of the waters. One must share the humility of the publican. Prayer and good works are vain if they are done not for God, but for vainglory. And what is vainglory? It's trusting in our own efforts. And when we trust in our own efforts, we are rejecting God and driving away his help. The faithful follower of Christ is known not by works, but by humility. I always recall the story of a young child. A lot of times, especially when I was going house visiting as a priest or even as a deacon, I got the opportunity to share a lot of meals and share a lot of conversations while visiting homes. And I remember this one particular family. It was a mother and a father and a young little boy. He was just turning 6. He's only 5 years old at that time, nearing 6. And we were able to share a meal. And so I had asked the young child if he would be willing to say a prayer before we eat some food. And what ended up happening was the kid was a little bit scared. He was a little bit fearful. So I told him I would help him pray. But then his parents had said, no, he knows how to pray on his own. He can do it. And so the kid started praying. And so he prayed for the food, and he said, Lord, I thank you for all that you have given us, especially this food. And I especially want to thank you for this achan, and I want him to be the best achan in the whole wide world. And in a way, while he was praying, I kind of had a smile on my face because I began to think, for this child who was just 5 or 6 years old, his prayer was that I, being in his presence, would be the best achan in the whole wide world, which was very sincere. And I thought for a moment as to how God would hear that prayer of his child. And sometimes I think about us who in our prayers we try to be so extravagant and we try to make it the best possible words. But really, it comes down to the words that this publican has shown us and saying that, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Let us learn from both the Pharisee and from the publican. From the one, we have to learn his works, that is the Pharisee, but by no means we can't learn his pride. Remember that the publican also is not yet saved, but was justified before God than the Pharisee. And if we look at the last verse of this chapter from Luke chapter 18, verse 14, everyone that exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. I hope and pray that during this Lenten season, we will be able to look closely at the Lenten prayers, the prayers of Holy Week, and try to identify our prayers with those, and begin to, in a way, compare and see where we are in a spiritual life. I want us to take you back to the quote that I had mentioned in the beginning and want to leave with that for your reflection this evening. Prayer is a mirror of one's spiritual disposition. Look into this mirror. Look at how you pray, and you will be able to say precisely what your spiritual disposition is. Prayer is a mirror of one's spiritual disposition. Look into this mirror. Look at how you pray, and you will be able to say precisely what your spiritual disposition is. May the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us to know and understand where we are in our spiritual lives, to be able to correct and to return to the Lord's presence and draw nearer to him, especially as we prepare for the Holy Week, and as we prepare to receive the resurrected Lord on Easter Sunday. To the glory of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Unto our Lord Jesus Christ be glory, thanks, and blessings for his living words to us, unto his Father who sent him for our salvation, and to his life, living and life-giving Holy Spirit, now and always and forever and ever. Amen.